simply Christmas. Want to thank our teams that do such a good job around Oakwood. I don't know if you understand this. Musicians, if you play guitar or drums, you understand that Christmas music is the hardest music. It was all written in the 1600s on a harpsichord or an organ, and it's not easily translated to today's technology and bands. And so they did an incredible job of making that work today. Let's thank our band and our leaders. I thank Tracy. I gave the task to them this year to go simply Christmas. So we're doing the older songs, and that's the plan, but that makes it difficult. It's funny, we're learning that this theme of simply is really more difficult than just doing what we normally do. But we're enjoying it, and I hope you are understanding the theme of simply Christmas. And I want to thank you as a church. If you got my email, you heard how excited I was that we are doing so good on the Hope Buckets. I love the fact that we can just go all the way, right, to 275 of those buckets. We can accomplish that today. That would be great. But you still gave to Oakwood Cares. You need to understand that most churches, pastors are going to be like, no, we can't. We got to focus on one thing, just one thing. At Oakwood, we like multitask. I got ambidextrous givers out here. And we took care of Hope Buckets. Last week, just the offering, our goal is $20,000 for Oakwood Cares. Just the offering collected at church last week was over $18,000. So we're very close. That doesn't include all the online giving, and that's open all month. So I'm trying not to give it away, but at the State of the Church address, the first Sunday in January, I'll tell you what the total was. But you guys are doing incredible. Now, on top of that, we definitely would assume that you wouldn't have given it all to the church. Our budget. We got a meat budget to keep the lights on and all those things. So we thought for sure that was going to tank. But no, you gave your regular giving with all of those extra things. So I don't know what other pastors and what other churches are doing, but this pastor and this church, you guys, thank you so much. I appreciate you so much that you can do those things with a giving, generous heart and the joy that we have doing that. And then we had to move our women's Christmas thing. They had a big plan for midweek, and then the snow crazy came. We're having quite a December, aren't we, folks? Yeah, and I'm glad you're bundled up and got here on a very, very cold morning. But we had to change from midweek to a Saturday, and we knew that that lost a lot of the ladies. But we did get some ladies that couldn't come, so we got them at the Saturday. So it kind of worked out, and we were glad that we were able to have that. But then, I don't know if you've noticed, this is something that speaks to my heart. This is probably one of the best chair setups we've had in the history of Oakwood. It is so straight. It is 6 feet exactly to the first row. It's beautiful. They did a great job. And guess what? We're taking it all down next Sunday. So for Christmas Eve, we're doing something brand new. And again, Pastor Ted's kind of warned you, for those of you guys who like it to be the same all the time, it will not be the same on Christmas Eve. I'm just telling you, it's going to not be this normal setup. You're not even going to be facing the stage. So it's going to be different, so prepare yourselves. But because of that, next Sunday after our services, we'll take all the chairs away, and we're going to be doing some different things for that. So thank you for our chair setup team that we put into, I don't know if we should buy them all Bengay or something. I don't know what we should do. But we should do something for them, because they do a great, great job setting up for us. Simply Christmas. Let's pray together today. Would you say this prayer? You don't need to say it out loud, but just give God this prayer. God, since there's something you want me to hear, I'm willing to listen. God, since there's something you want me to hear, I'm willing to listen. God, we do pray that you would be glorified, that everyone hearing this message would be edified, and that Satan would be horrified. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, last week we started out quite differently as we talked about sin and death. Not a great way to start a Christmas series, but an important way. I think it was Jim Smith. He blessed me on Sunday afternoon, wrote me an email, and he said, yeah, Pastor, that was not where I thought you were going, but on the way home they were listening to Christmas music, and he said, all of a sudden we realized that a lot of the Christmas music gives the story. And then all of a sudden it was popping out to them as they were driving home. It was like, yes, we hear that theme of sin being the reason why God had to do what he did to save the world, to redeem the world, to purchase us back. And so that's where we started last week, but now we've got three messages and a Christmas Eve to talk about simply Christmas. The big idea today is a simple plan. Last week was a simple choice. Man chose sin and disobedience, and now God has a simple plan. We're going to talk about the miracle of the method. Everybody say method. You can turn to Romans 11:33 and meet me there in just a moment. We all know when we get to Christmas, it's talked about a lot. Why did God send Jesus as a baby in a manger to a small town in Bethlehem? And why would he announce it to simple shepherds, not kings and rulers? Why not Rome, where the center of the world was at the time? Why? It seems like the method is not what we would have done. Amen? The method seems weird and difficult. And yet we know God's ways are best. And it's a good thing it wasn't me making up the plan and the method. But in God's timing and in God's way, he does the perfect thing. And I want you to understand that today as we talk about the miracle of the method. It was strange. Matter of fact, it's one of my favorite songs put out way long ago, right? You young kids wouldn't even know this band probably, but For Him put out, number For Him, put out a song called It Was Such a Strange Way to Save the World. I love it. It's been redone by Rascal Flatts. It's been done many times. People like that song. But it was a strange way to save the world. I bet you if we formed committees today and you guys came up with your own plans, it would look radically different. But God, in his wisdom, had a method for his plan. What was his plan? To save the world. Last week was a simple choice, so this week is a simple plan. His plan was to save us from our sins. Everyone in this room was born with a sin problem, and you chose to sin. And so what's going to happen? Because sin cannot enter into heaven. God is the perfect judge. He can't just let it go. It must be paid for. How can we get there? And God knew his plan was a simple, save the world. The method, however, to accomplish the plan is where we wonder, like, why? I asked Julie yesterday in the car, I said, "What? Give me a story from my background." And I threw out one, and you might have heard of this one before, but in college, as soon as I start there, you're probably like, oh no. Yeah, college is crazy years, right? And I had some crazy roommates. We were just wild. It was awesome. We had, and good stuff. It wasn't just, we weren't wild in a bad way. We were wild in an awesome way. Always having fun. We came to one year where my roommates, Wayne and Cliff, we decided we were going to put on a dorm-wide Halloween event. Like, we got our whole dorm, two stories. Was VO two stories or three? Two stories. Ben Ostell is where I went all 4 years, and two stories. We got everybody involved to do a thing where people would walk through the hallway, and in each room, it was decorated for Halloween, both floors, and it was going to be great. But my friend Wayne and Cliff and I, it's got to be big. And so we decided to kick it off, to have everybody come to the Van Ostell dorm at a certain time, and we would kick off the event. And Wayne says, "Hey guys, I have a friend who's a firefighter, and he knows how we can light me on fire. And I'll run across the crowd." So I'm like, "Wow, big start." And so, sure enough, we had the plan. Wayne was going to light himself on fire. And he had this big outfit on, many layers, and he coated himself in this gel. And at the right time, we lit him on fire. And it was my job to be on the back of the dorm to put him out. My job was to douse him. So I'm thinking, this is important. I've got a big job. My friend's going to be on fire. And so I took my job very seriously. So the time came, right before the start, and we lit Wayne on fire on the side of the dorm, and nobody could see him, and he just ran across, blazing flame, ran across my back, like, ah! He ran to the back, and he fell on the ground, and the problem was that my method to douse him, I wanted to be very sure that I could douse him, so I found a 55-gallon drum, and I filled it with water over here. Oh. My friend came around, and he hit the ground over there. And I'm like, needless to say, my friend was not happy with me. that I couldn't douse him with water. Now, we finally put him out, rolling on the ground and then patting him down. Sometimes the method seems crazy to accomplish the plan. And that's what I want to get across to you today, is understanding that God's methods, although strange, we must understand his sovereignty and that he will accomplish what he sets out to accomplish. So let's read the main verse today in Romans 11:33. Romans 11:33, it says, "Oh, the depth of the riches of the wisdom and knowledge of God, how unsearchable his judgments and his paths beyond tracing out." I love that in the New Testament that we're reminded that God's ways are beyond our ways. And our knowledge, we don't understand the ways of God. Let me ask you, are you going through something you don't understand today? Have you ever found yourself going to God and saying, "God, why are you letting me?" I want you to understand that the story of Christmas is perfect for us to understand that I don't understand what he's trying to do. Why is this the method for the plan? And you might be wondering in your own life today, what is God's method here? Why am I suffering? Why are things going wrong? I think it should... Well, right there. We go back to Romans. How unsearchable his judgments and his paths beyond tracing out. Number one today, three more simple Christmas truths. Number one, God's methods transcend us. They're beyond us. The word transcend means beyond. Everybody say transcend. So it means beyond us, otherworldly. God's methods and plans, we have a hard time understanding them. His plans will be accomplished, but his methods are always amazing. Should we be surprised? Before Bethlehem and the baby in the manger, don't we have a Bible full of strange methods? Moses, take your shoes off. The ground you're standing on is holy ground. Moses, go to Pharaoh and tell him, "Let my people go." What do we know about Moses? He's not eloquent. Everybody say not.
Not.
He's not eloquent. He tells God, "God, I stutter. I'm not good at speech. I don't speak well." And God's like, "Yeah, I know." God's ways are not the ways we would choose. But he will accomplish his plans. What about David? Don't you love the story of David? All the sons of Jesse are lined up from the handsome tallest all the way down. And who's the guy that didn't even get an invite? David. He's not noticed. Everybody say not. Moses is not eloquent. Say not. And God chose David. Remember the servant went and said, "Are these all your sons? God's not giving me the thumbs up on any of these kids." Well, there's one more. He's out in the field. He's got to stay and take care of the sheep. Not noticed. What does God do? He uses David. Remember the epic story when he walks out into the battlefield? All the soldiers of Israel are cowering in fear, and this teenage boy, who couldn't be much of anything to look at the time, he was, because Goliath called him a stick. That gives you an idea that he was probably thin and lanky. He looked like a twig, right? And Goliath's teasing him and mocking him, saying, "You send a twig? What do you think, of a dog?" And what does David do? "I got a rock for you, man." Moses, not eloquent. David, not noticed. Paul, he's not even on the right team. Everybody say not. We talked about it recently, right? Paul's not even on the right team. And God says, "Saul, why are you persecuting me?" And again, I tell you, in all these stories, I mean, don't you just, when we get to heaven, I hope there's a video replay room. I do. I hope there's a video replay room. I'm asking for it right now, God, if it's a request. I don't know if we can send a request to, but when I get to heaven, I want to go to the video room, and I want to watch these scenes. I want to see Moses. I want to hear him talk. Was he lying, or did he really not speak well? I want to see David and think, "Oh my goodness, he is a twig. Oh my goodness, not my choice. I wouldn't have sent him. He's not. Moses is not." Everybody say not.
Not. Paul, he's not even on the right team. He's killing Christians. Yeah, that's my guy. I just can't imagine what heaven, the angels. I always go back to the angels in heaven hearing the plan in the war room and them being like, God, this is a strange way. And I won't even go on some of my other ones. There's Abraham. Not. Everybody say not.
Not.
Jonah.
Not.
Job.
Not.
Not the way. Not if I'm Job. I'd be like, this is a strange plan. I don't even know what your plan is, but the method stinks. Boil source. He's losing everybody. Everything important to him died. Isn't it interesting? God left his wife alive. She was a piece. I mean, she's the one like, you're terrible. You just curse God and die, Job. You ever thought about that? When God and Satan were talking about this and making deals, and Satan's and God's like, you can take everything from him, but don't take his life. And Satan takes all the lives. And God's like, aren't you going to kill the wife? No. No. It's a keeper. Not. Everybody say not. Not the method I would have chosen. Jonathan, by himself, all he has is one armor bearer, and he's gonna pick a fight with the whole army. Remember that story? Jonathan, not with an army. Everybody say not. He's alone. And the Bible says that in the nation they only had one sword. For the whole nation, they had one sword. Jonathan gets the one sword, and his armor bearer is like, that's my job. Okay, you take it. The two of them pick a fight with the army that's up on the top of a hill. They're down there shouting out taunts. And the army's like, yeah, come on up here. Let's see what you're made of. And they climb up. The Bible says they climb up hand over fist. This is a steep hill. Do you ever climb the dunes, Sleeping Bear sand dunes? Imagine that there's an army on the top, a whole army on the top. And you've got one guy that's carrying the one sword. And you're going to say, we're coming to kill you. Strange way. What did Jonathan say? One of my favorite verses in the Bible. My God is able to save by many or few. And if you don't know the story, go look it up. Go read the story of Jonathan and his armor bearer taking out a whole army. Strange. Strange way. In Isaiah 55, let me do the reading today. If you can catch up, you can. But Isaiah 55, 8 through 9. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, declares the Lord. As the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. Have you ever said to God, what are you doing? Understand, he is at work, and he will accomplish his plans. And the methods he's using are the methods that's needed. You might get to heaven someday and go to the video room and replay every time you said, God, what were you thinking? And God's there going, see, told you so. I hated that question when I was a kid. My father always started every conversation, Donnie, what were you thinking? What were you thinking? We do that to God, the supreme being who created all things, sovereign above all things, who will accomplish his plans. There is not a doubt that his plans will be accomplished. He will accomplish his plans. And we say, God, what are you thinking? He's got a perfect plan. His methods we might not understand. Number two. Oh, there's a quick quote. The God from eternity entered into humanity so that humanity could know God for all eternity.
Ooh, that's cool.
That's the plan. How does he accomplish it? Yeah. This is such a strange way. Save the world. The God from eternity entered into humanity so that humanity could know God for all of eternity. That's a great quote. I should see that posted with Pastor PD, right? Quote that today. Second point. God's methods include us. Everybody say include. What a beautiful thing that God's methods include us. Isaiah 9, verse 6. For unto us, everybody say us. A child is born. To us, everybody say us. A son is given, and the government will be on his shoulders, and he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Yes, God's methods seem we just can't understand it. Why a baby? Why manger? Why Bethlehem? Why shepherds? Why a young couple? Not famous, not known. But he included us. In this incredible plan, he came to us. Isn't that great? Isn't it great that God didn't do what we normally would think of and just send his son, fully grown, 33 and a half years old, to Rome and just said, here he is, crucify him. No. He sent him for us, to us, to be one of us. Strange way, but oh, how he accomplished his plans. 1 Corinthians 1:26-29. Brothers and sisters, think of what you were when you were called. Not many of you were wise by human standards. Not many of you influential. Not many were of noble birth. But God chose the foolish things of the world to shame the wise. God chose the weak things of the world to shame the strong. God chose the lowly things of this world and the despised things and the things that are not to nullify the things that are, so that no one may boast before him. I don't know if Paul was thinking of this. He added that line, God chose the lowly things of this world and the despised things. Do you think he was thinking of himself? This is the guy, remember? Everybody say, not. Wrong team. Despised. And Paul reminds us that God's methods will accomplish his plans even though we don't understand it. So no one can boast, he says. Paul did such an incredible, he wrote half of our New Testament, missionary trips, and won a lot of the East. I mean, just incredible what he accomplished. If anybody could boast, even Paul himself says later on, if anyone should boast, it should be me. But he does not boast. He says, I take all the trophies and I lay them at his feet. God's methods are so incredible that no one can take credit for them. And I think that's part of his beautiful wisdom. Nowhere in God's plan is it easy for somebody to say, well, yeah, of course it worked. I did it. No. It's never man. It's always God. God will accomplish his plans, even though his methods we don't understand. Oh, that snake. That sneaky snake that we talked about last week in the garden, Satan himself. You ever thought about that? Satan came as a snake. Great choice. We might not understand that, but looking back, it sure makes sense. What, snakes are on their belly, right? They have no arms and they have no feet. That's because through God, Satan has been disarmed and defeated. Amen? Amen. Yeah, that was a good one. He's been disarmed and defeated. That's why he's on his belly, that sneaky snake. God's plans are always accomplished. His methods we don't understand. It brings me to the third point. God's methods sanctify us. And there we get to the main thing. Christmas, simply Christmas. I want you to remember, if you lose sight of all the things with all the other distractions, the purpose, the plan was to save the world. And this is what he did. To sanctify us, to give us a shot. There was no way anybody could stand before God and say, I was perfect, I didn't sin. We've all blown that, it's too late. So God chose a method for the plan to save the world. And that means we had to be sanctified. Everybody says that's a big theological word. Sanctified. Everybody say sanctified. Purified. I've used water before to illustrate that, but on all these water bottles that we pay for, it usually says something about purity. But there's no such thing as pure water in this world. Don't tell me that. I know somebody's going to come and say, there's an aquifer in New Zealand that has perfectly pure water. Come on, you can't tell me that a goat or something didn't pee down that hole. There's no such thing as pure water anywhere. It's just not. I went to Africa and then Dubai on my way home. And so before I left,
I went and bought me one of those life straws. You know what a life straw is? I mean, they advertise it that you can just put it in a muddy puddle and drink right out of it, and it filters out. I'm thankful I didn't do that. I never even used it in Africa. I did it in Dubai because I just wasn't sure, you know. So I used my life straw to make sure I didn't catch a bug. I got close to getting home. I thought, let's not test this. Pure water. Pure water is not pure on its own. It must be purified. Everybody say purified. We need to be sanctified, purified. We can't do anything. Something has to happen to go from the filth of sin to the absolute purity of heaven. How? God had a plan, and he chose some methods to get us there. In Isaiah 9, verse 7, it says this, "Of the greatness of his government and peace there will be no end. He will reign on David's throne and over his kingdom, establishing and upholding it with justice and righteousness from that time on and forever." And here's my favorite line of that passage. "The zeal of the Lord Almighty will accomplish this." The zeal. Everybody say zeal.
Zeal.
God is giddy about saving us. He's going to accomplish it. He wants it to happen. The desire of God is that you would be saved. And he will accomplish it through this baby in a manger in a little town. It amazes me. We experience pain, problems, pressures, struggles and sickness, temptations and failures. Victories and celebrations are followed by defeats and despair. And we would say to God, "What are you thinking?" As Moses says, "What are you thinking?" As David said,
"I'll go get that Goliath."
As Paul falls on the ground, knocked off his horse. God's methods are always strange to us. I just want you to know, no matter what you're going through today, God has a plan. You might not understand his methods, but he is sovereign. And he will accomplish his plans in your life and in my life, just like he did in a young teen girl and her betrothed husband. Romans 8:28. "We know that in all things God works for the good of those who love him, who've been called according to his purpose." Don't misinterpret this passage. It's not saying everything works out for good. No, this says God works for the good of those who love him. Sometimes what's good for you is not what you want. If we were to write our own scripts, trust me, we would write health and wealth all the way through. Amen? If you were to write your own script, it would be, "I'm going to be happy and healthy and wealthy and everything's going to be great." This has never meant to be great. This life, God tells us over and over in Scripture that you will have troubles, you will have sorrows, you will have tears, but all of it for the believer is for the good of them. And guess what? God uses our suffering, our pain, our sickness. He uses all of it to sanctify us, to purify us. Now listen, you don't get saved that way. It's through grace alone, by faith, that you accept Christ's salvation. But then he's not finished with you yet. He's refining you, purifying you like poopy water made pure. And that process is always hard. So this morning, I wanted to talk to you about the miracle, the methods, and let you know, I don't know where you're at or what you're going through, but don't curse God. Thank him. Thank God. Let him use his methods to accomplish his plans in your life and in mine. Conclusion, we must choose to trust what we know to be true because of what he has revealed through his son, Jesus. We can trust God. That's what I love about Scripture. He gives us these scenarios over and over again. And Christmas is the best, unbelievable method to accomplish a plan. And look what he did. Look what he did. All across the world, people put up little manger scenes. All across the globe, nobody's setting up a Caesar room.
Anybody setting up a Caesar bed? Little miniature Caesar castle? No. Oh, it was a strange way, but man, does it speak about a great God with a great plan. Can you trust him? He will accomplish his plans. Amen? Listen, I told you from the beginning that one of my favorite songs was For Him's song, Such a Strange Way to Win the World. Now, I know you're thinking, oh no, he's going to sing for us. Merry Christmas. I chose not to. I would like to close our service by showing you a video. You can start prepping that video now. I want to show you a video. It's not For Him or Rascal Flatts, but it's a church singing this song. While the song plays, would you just talk to God? Close this service out by talking to God and recognizing that his methods you might not understand, but you do trust him to accomplish his plan. And if you've never received him as Savior and Lord, I would do that. I would take him up on his offer. His zeal will accomplish this, and it did. Jesus not only was born, but he lived a sinless life. He went to the cross and he died for you and me in our place so that sin could be paid for in full. And God accomplished that. It's all been done for you. The only question is, have you received it? Has there been a moment where you said, God, I know I'm a sinner. Please come into my heart as my Savior and my Lord. And he will accomplish it in you. And now it won't be perfect. There's going to be times when you're like, God, what are you thinking? Yet he's up in heaven saying, I've got this. I've got this. Such a strange way. Would you talk to God as we close the service?
Just a simple man of trade. Why you?
think are strange, but they're choices made to accomplish a plan. Simply Christmas. Stand with me as we pray. Father, we thank you for your ways. We confess that your ways are higher than our ways. They're better than our ways. Father, we're thankful that you, with your zeal and desire, came up with a plan to save the world. Father, we look at the methods and we scratch our heads, but we surrender to the fact that you're a sovereign God who will accomplish his plans. And that means that in our own personal lives, the things that we're going through have purpose. God, we confess that you are trying to sanctify us, make us more like Jesus. Help us to learn. Help us to learn these lessons instead of despising them. Help us to take them in and be more and more like Jesus. We're thankful we don't have to live up to the perfect standard, that you've taken care of it on the cross, and all we have to do is receive it. God, I pray that this morning, if anyone in this room or listening online has never received the gift of salvation, that today they would just simply accept you by faith. We're thankful for that, that works. We're thankful that you save us. We're thankful for Jesus. We pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
God bless. Go in peace.